Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. The Golan Heights, are they gone from Syria for good? Trump's recognition of Israel's Golan Heights annexation reminded the world about the so-called facts on the ground and made many wonder whether the territory is gone from Syria for good. Ukrainian elections, oligarch versus energy tycoon versus comedian. This Sunday's general elections in Ukraine will see the incumbent oligarch Petro Poroshenko fighting for his political life against energy tycoon Yulia Tymoshenko and comedian Volodymyr Zelensky. And also, Turkish local elections, a referendum on President Erdogan? This Sunday's local elections in Turkey are the first since the failed 2016 coup attempt and are therefore seen as a referendum of sorts on President Erdogan. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the political future of the Golan Heights. Trump's recognition of Israel's Golan Heights annexation reminded the world about the so-called facts on the ground and made many wonder whether the territory is gone from Syria for good. This strategic region was seized from the Arab Republic during the 1967 war and was unilaterally annexed by Israel in 1981. Though Trump's move marks the first time that any nation has endorsed that action and was a reversal from the U.S.'s own long-standing position on the issue. The Trump administration defended its decision as belatedly recognizing the incontrovertible facts on the ground there, though observers warned that it risks encouraging an uncontrollable chain reaction of other international legal violations, whereby rival states might try to once again resolve their territorial disputes by force in order to establish the same facts on the ground that might earn them American recognition for their conquest. The timing of this decision is also thought to provide a boost to embattled Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu ahead of heated early elections next month, therefore possibly making it an attempt to hack the vote by shaping the international environment in such a way as to support the incumbent. Other observers speculated that this is part of Trump's so-called deal of the century that he plans to unveil after the upcoming Israeli polls in an attempt to geopolitically reshape the Mideast to America's favor. And still others wonder whether the U.S. will make Syrian recognition of this fait accompli a prerequisite for unlocking American reconstruction aid after the war, pending a political solution to the conflict. Whatever the true motivations may be, this action isn't going unchallenged by the international community, which sharply condemned the move in unison because of how flagrantly it violates the UNSC's own ruling on the matter. Syria, as could be expected, is the country most vocally opposed to this move and vowed to liberate its legitimate territory from Israeli occupation. Even so, it is yet to do this after over half a century and doesn't appear to be in any shape to do it anytime soon after the destruction that the ongoing war wrought to its armed forces. Furthermore, Russia's forces currently control the border between Syria and Israel, and Ministry of Defense spokesman Igor Konashenkov publicly acknowledged in September of last year that his country secured the withdrawal of Iranian forces 140 kilometers from the frontier at the request of Tel Aviv, therefore making it even more unlikely that Syria will do good on its promise to militarily liberate the territory anytime soon. As such, Russia might possibly offer to mediate a solution to this long-running dispute between its Syrian and Israeli partners in order to put an end to it once and for all. Folks, everybody in the world is talking about what just happened in the Mideast and Trump's tweet and also his official recognition of Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights on Monday. So we're going to speak with our experts today to see what it all means and where it could all be headed. So the first one that we're going to talk to today is Mr. Stephen Sahuni. He's a Syrian-American journalist.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Stephen, why is Turkish President Erdogan, whose forces currently occupy parts of Syrian territory against the will of its democratically elected and legitimate government just like Israel's do, positioning himself as a champion of the Golan Heights by promising to take the dispute to the UN?
Firstly, we all remember in 2010 when Erdogan made the big deal about Palestine and the Ship of Marmara. And all of that was only just for propaganda and to make himself like he is the leader of the Muslim world, because we all know that Erdogan has a dream to come so he can make Turkey as an empire again. So all of this and all of him trying to do about the Golan Heights is all only for propaganda and only for media use only. If he wasn't really cared about the Golan, he could have pulled out of the occupied land in the north of Syria that his troops are in right now. And he could have not worked and supported and funded the terrorists in the north of Syria. So all of that's for propaganda, and the Golan and the Syrian government took the Golan subject to the United Nations, along with their allies, the superpowers in the world. No one needs Erdogan, and no one is going to believe everything he's doing about the Golan Heights, because he's been exposed as a person that only uses these kind of subjects like the Golan Heights, like Palestine, Syria, and other subjects around the world, the Muslim world, just for his own cause and only for media propaganda.
Okay, I see. Well, then on the topic of the UN, Stephen, I mean, the organization has hitherto failed to make any progress on resolving this issue over the past half century because it lacks any credible enforcement measure to ensure Israeli compliance. So, Stephen, is the only solution a military one then? And if so, how could Syria do this when Russia controls the frontier nowadays?
We all know that in the last century, the United Nations have done nothing, not for the Golan Heights, not for the occupied land in Lebanon, the Shebaa farms, and they never done anything for the Palestinian cause or for the war on Iraq. And that is because one reason, and only reason only, that is the United States control the United Nations and they control the Security Council. And every time the Security Council, they meet to vote to condemn the Israeli occupation or to condemn the United States come out and say, and they veto it. So that is why today the United Nations is paralyzed and we do not see any activity. The only way to get the Golan Heights back is by military resistance and military operations by the Syrian government. The Russians are in Syria and fighting terrorism with the Syrian army under a request from the Syrian government, and they are only to fight terrorism. But when it's got to do with occupied land, the Russians, they understand that Syria has occupied land and it's Syria's right to get that land back. We all seen what the Israeli occupation did with Israel, and they did not respect the Israeli occupation, what they did with Russia, and they did not respect their good relations with Russia when they shot down the plane. So the Russians, they know really well, and they respect the Syrian will to bring that land back. I think they will try to solve the problem peacefully, but the Syrian will and the Syrian people's will is to bring that land back, even if it costs to do with war. And that decision will be taken by the Syrian government, and their Syria's allies will respect that, because we all know that no one will accept their country to have occupied land and just sit and watch it. So the Golan Heights will be back, either by peace or by war. And Dr. Bashar Jaafari, the Syrian ambassador for the UN, he said that clearly, either by war or by peace, the Golan is going to come back to Syria. And that is the Syrian people in the Golan's will.
Okay, Stephen, well, on the point of rhetoric then, I mean, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Zakharova said that, to quote her, "we understood everything and we will correct our information strategy," end quote, about Crimea in response to Pompeo justifying Trump's Golan move on the basis that it recognizes so-called facts on the ground. So, Stephen, is there really any comparison between the two, or do you think she was just kind of making a sarcastic point here?
No, because there's no comparisons between Crimea and the Golan. The Crimea people, they voted to leave Ukraine, and that is their will and that is their right. And the Crimea people wanted to be with Russia, and they did the vote, and that was legitimate. But the Golan Heights, the Golani people, they all want to come back to Syria, and the Golan is much more than a few heights and a few mountains, as the Israeli tried to explain it to the world. The Golan, it's a city, and there's almost 100,000 citizens there before the war. So the Golani people are Syrians, and they recognize that they're Syrians, and they want to come back to Syria. So there's no comparisons between the Crimea and the Jolan, because each one is a different case and a different story.
Okay, Stephen. Well, thank you for your on-the-ground reporting about this very important issue and presenting the Syrian perspective on it. Much appreciated. Now we're going to get the other side of the debate by speaking to Mr. Casey Washer. Casey is from Ohio, has a bachelor's in Russian from OSU, and teaches Israeli history and Hebrew at a Jewish private school.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Casey, how likely is it that the recognition of Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights is part of Trump's forthcoming deal of the century, and what are the odds that other countries will follow suit? I mean, barely anyone recognized Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, so will it probably be the same for the Golan too?
It'll probably be very similar. First of all, you're right that barely anyone so far has gone with the Jerusalem thing, but Guatemala and Romania have already moved their embassies and a few other places. I mean, it'll happen. It might happen slowly, but it's already started. And I think that'll be the same with the Golan, because just like Jerusalem, it's not really a dramatic change in the reality of on the ground. It's just a policy or a symbolic political thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like anyone's getting displaced. No one's going to get killed. No one's, you know, it's just something that's already there. Israel's had the property for 50 years. They've been living there for almost 40. You know, it's already done. So I think it will slowly bring other countries to the table. Some people will never come, but it'll, you know, yes. The answer is yes. I think it will. Other countries will adjust their attitude and the same with Jerusalem. It's just a reality.
Okay, Casey, well, you know, I mean, it's practically impossible at this point in time for Syria to reconstruct itself after the war without Western financial aid. I mean, people are estimating it might even cost $500 trillion, and no single country has that amount of money, not even China.
Sure.
But the U.S. might threaten to impose Iranian-like secondary sanctions against its European partners, who are obviously flush in cash, if they step out of line and fund this undertaking without its approval, which Washington might make dependent, some are thinking, on Damascus's recognition of Israel's annexation. So, Casey, what do you think are the odds of this scenario here?
Oh, very likely. But first of all, that sounds like a negotiation strategy that our government's currently in. It's kind of an easy win because, I mean, even though Damascus doesn't, this is a very symbolic issue for Syria. So, I mean, like, when you have a symbolic issue versus a practical issue, like we need $1 trillion to fix our country, you know, symbolism usually loses. Like, it does seem like a likely strategy, and it probably will work.
Okay, I see then. Okay, now, Casey, well, right now, if we're kind of going to look forward here and you're talking about the prospects of this possibly happening, I mean, the only country in the world that has equally close relations with both Syria and Israel and could possibly mediate any type of agreement is Russia. We've spoken about this before, and there's several times you've come on to Trendstorm. So, Casey, what do you think are the prospects of Moscow attempting to mediate a political solution to the Golan issue between both of its main Mideast partners, and do you think any such effort could succeed?
I think Russia may try to, but I don't think that they're going to. Israel will never give up the Golan Heights. They just will never do it. I could give you 10 reasons. We can go into it if you want, but they're just never going to do it. Israel has given back land before, the biggest example being giving back the Sinai Peninsula in the 80s, which, by the way, was almost half of the territory of Israel at the time. And so they're willing to do that, but there's a joke in Israel's a saying that the reason giving away Sinai was easy because they didn't ask for the Golan. Because the Golan's become a symbolic and practical issue in Israel. They're just never going to give it back. And I don't think Russia is going to want to deal with that. It's just kind of a non-starter. I think they'll try and mediate. By that, I think they'll probably try and convince Syria to let it go.
And how successful do you think that would be? I mean, just like you spoke about, there could be 10 reasons why Israel wouldn't want to let it go, even though right now, de facto, it's under Israeli control. There could also 10 reasons why Syria wouldn't want to give up its claims. So do you think that would succeed, or this is just a dead end?
No, I think it's a dead end. Honestly, Israel's control over the Golan Heights, the way that Israel controls the Golan Heights is different than the way it controls the West Bank, for example. The West Bank has a very minimal Israeli presence. Now, granted, it's growing, but whatever. The West Bank has a minimal Israeli presence, but mostly a Palestinian presence. And the only reason the Israelis are still there are because of strategic reasons. The Golan is an entirely, it's been colonized. It has lots of people living there. It's a big tourist attraction. It's a big industry. It has resources there that they don't have in the rest of Israel. Israel's not just controlling it. It's living there. It has vineyards. It has tourists. It has, you know, it's just, it's not going. I think for the only way Syria will get back the Golan Heights is if they defeat all of Israel. I think that, and that's going to be the approach that Netanyahu takes, or really even any other prime minister. Let's say hypothetically Netanyahu loses the election to somebody else. No Israeli prime minister of any political persuasion will give back the Golan. It's a dead end, and I think Russia's smart enough to know that.
Okay, Casey, I really appreciate you coming onto our program and showing the Israeli point of view on the Golan Heights. Thanks again for that.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Stephen and Casey share with us today, of course, both of our guests have totally opposite views on this very important issue, and this very understandable. However, having said that, I think they both came to an agreement on their own that what has happened does seem to be irreversible in the sense of the American decision and Israel's decision. Nobody's going to stop Trump and get him to change his mind. And nobody is going to convince Israel to withdraw from the Golan Heights. If that ever happens, it's going to have to be by force. But that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.